You have your Bible this morning and you want to read with me the scriptures that the Lord has placed upon my heart for this service. We're going to go to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, and I'm going to begin reading there in the 24th chapter in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Let's read verse 51 through verse number 58. Genesis chapter 24, verse 51 through 58. Scripture said, "And behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and he gave them to Rebekah, and he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him," the men that were with the servant. "And they tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and the servant said, 'Send me away to my master.' And her brother and her mother said, 'Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she shall go.' And the servant said unto them, 'Hinder me not, seeing that the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master.' And they," the family, "said unto the servant," they said unto him, "'We will call the damsel and we will inquire at her mouth.'" We will get her opinion. "We will inquire at her mouth. "And they called Rebekah and they said unto her, 'Wilt thou go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads for just a moment and let us pray and ask the Lord for his help in delivering the word of God. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful this morning that we have an opportunity to gather here in this place and in your name. We are thankful this morning, Lord, for the touch of your Holy Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt as we have worshiped and as we have praised. And we come now, Lord, to the reading of your word. And Father, I would pray this morning that you would simply touch my lips and touch my mind and anoint me, Father, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Help me to minister what you have placed upon my heart with clarity so each one may understand the necessity of this word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will let it come forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and empowered with the Holy Spirit, that it will rest upon hearts that are touched of God to receive. Give me liberty to speak this word in this house. Give me unction to function. Make me an able minister of your word. Let your grace be sufficient for me. Let Christ be glorified and the people be edified. And we ask it all in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to go this morning to that final verse that we read, that 58th verse. And I want to take a line out of that verse and title my message, amen, the message being entitled, "Wilt thou go with this man?" Will you go with this man? As I begin here this morning, I just want to share with you just a short story that will lead us into our text. Many years ago, my wife and I had just come home from holding some revival services, and the kids were in school, and her and I slipped away, and we had lunch together. And while we were at lunch, you know, in those days, they used to put paintings of different artists in the restaurants and let you know how much they were for sale. We were at the Old Cloverleaf. And my wife and I, we saw this beautiful painting by a local artist. Her name is Claudia Klingbeck Swander. Maybe you recognize the name. And for those of you that maybe do not recognize her name, she is a local homegrown talent that really has reached national acclaim with her artistry and with her painting. She's fabulous. And my wife and I, we stood there looking at this particular painting, and that painting that we were looking at that day, when I saw it, I just immediately sensed a sense of admiration for this lady's artwork, and I became a fan. The more I began to know about her and to begin to see more of her work, I just became a great fan of hers in general. And in fact, my wife and I, we have four of her paintings there in our home. And they are each one really unique, and they are just exceptional. And so you can tell by, you know, my joy for her work that she really does a fabulous job. Well, this one particular painting, this was the first time that I had seen her artwork. And as we stood there that day, I remember on the calendar, it was close to Father's Day, and we left the restaurant, I admiring the painting, and we left the restaurant, and unbeknown to me, my wife made arrangements to go back, and she actually purchased the painting for me as a gift for Father's Day. So I've had this painting for a very, very long time, and every day I just, you know, I derive enjoyment from it. And this particular painting that my wife purchased that day was titled by Claudia, the artist, it was titled A Journey Through Time. A Journey Through Time. And I will just, in a very feeble way, try to attempt to describe the painting for you this morning. At first glance, as you looked at the painting, it is a picture of wild horses running through the valley floor of a snow-covered canyon. There is a beautiful, clear winter sky, bright blues, but there is this wild herd of horses that is running through the valley floor of this canyon, and the canyon is snow-covered. They're kicking up snow, and if you look at the painting just briefly, that appears that that's all that there is. Just wild horses running through the canyon. However, if you take a moment and you begin to look at it and you begin to study it a little closer, amen, all of a sudden the canyon walls that rise on either side of the valley floor begin to reveal what I can only describe as a picture within a picture, or a scene within a scene, or an image within the image. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Have you ever looked at a painting and you saw one thing, but then, amen, seemingly out of nowhere, you could see something else in the painting? And that's the way this painting is. The rock wall, canyons. If you look closely, suddenly embedded in the rock, there are images within the image, the overall image. There are pictures within the overall picture or the overall painting. Embedded within the rocks, you can see painted where it doesn't leap off of the painting at you, but once you see it, you'll never unsee it. But in the rock wall, there is an old gold miner, and he's standing there with a gold pan. There is a conquistador with a helmet and full body armor riding upon a stallion. And I never saw that. I never seen that. I didn't see that at first. There is a beautiful Indian maid. There is horses' heads. Suddenly, the rock wall canyons, there is a cattle skull with the horns, and there is an Indian chief in full headdress. There is the face of a bear and the face of a wolf, and there are horses' heads all over the canyon walls. It's fascinating. The message behind the pictures of the painting is a journey through time. As you look at the painting and you look at the overall message that it seems to say there is a history lesson to be learned. There is a history lesson that reveals that others have passed this way before. There is a story beside the story, amen, of just horses running through the canyon. There is a story behind the story. I hope that I have adequately described what I'm talking about. And you say, Pastor Gary, you may have described what you're talking about, but what in the world does that have to do with your text? Well, I'm glad you ask. Because the Bible often tells us stories, occurrences, events that appear to be one thing on the surface of the story, but they have a far greater meaning. They have a far greater, a far-reaching story to tell us. There are stories in the Word of God that the Scriptures not only tell us of the certain events that took place, but they, amen, if you look at them more closely, they have a story behind the story. They reveal a greater truth to be made known unto us. Our text is one of those stories. Our text on the surface, as you look at it and you read the text, on the surface, it simply looks like a father who has sent a servant to find a bride for his son. If you look at it just on the surface, it just simply appears that a man named Abraham sent a servant by the name of Eliezer to go to find a bride for his son Isaac. That's all it seems to be. Somebody looking for matrimony. But let me just tell you this morning that the question that was asked of Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou go with this man? Is the same question that God is asking each one of us throughout our lifetime. Amen. And let me just tell you another little thing right under that. And the way that we answer has eternal consequences. Rebecca answered, I will go. And her response, amen, changed her life forever. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, the same question that was asked of Rebecca is asked of us. Will you go with this man? And how we answer will determine where we spend eternity. So, let's get into the story. There are four key players that you need to keep an eye on in the story. There is Abraham. There is Isaac. There is the servant who is sent on a mission. And there is Rebecca, the bride-to-be. If you began reading in verse number 1 of that 24th chapter, and obviously it's 60-some-odd verses long, I could not read it all to you today. But I encourage you to take some time to just sit down and read through the story at your leisure. But if you were to begin reading in that first verse of the 24th chapter, the Bible said that Abraham was old and stricken in years. God had blessed Abraham's life with great abundance. God had blessed Abraham's life by telling him to arise and leave the Ur of Chaldees. And he said, go to a land that I will show you, that I will cause your lineage to inherit. You will, amen, you will find that God had blessed Abraham with a son when Abraham could have no children. God made a way. Abraham is now old and stricken in years, and he calls to his side, or to himself, his most trusted servant. Right here in chapter 24, it does not give us the servant's name, but in other places, if you read, Abraham's trusted servant was Eliezer. So Abraham calls his trusted servant to his side and he says to him, I want you to put your hand under my thigh and I want you to swear to me. I want you to give me your word. I want you to promise me that you will not take a wife from the sons of the Canaanites in the land that I'm dwelling in. But I want you to promise me that you will go back to my family and you will go back to my homeland and you will take a wife from my kindred for my son. And the servant says, peradventure, the woman will not go. Now, maybe you know that's a pretty big deal. What if I go all the way back there and I find a girl, amen, that could marry Isaac? And what if she doesn't want to come with me? Shall I take Isaac back to your homeland? And Abraham said, no, God forbid. God called me out of Ur of the Chaldees, told me I was going to inherit this land, and God will not only find you a woman for my son to marry, but the angel of the Lord will go before you and lead you in a perfect path. Look at verse 8. And if the woman will not be willing to follow, then you shall be free from my oath. That speaks of free will. If she is not willing to follow, then leave her be where she is. If she is not willing to come, leave her be. The Bible says that the servant placed his hand under Abraham's thigh and gave him his word. I really don't know what significance that has. Strange way of doing business, if you ask me. But but he places his hand under his thigh and he gives his word. And he says, I'm your man. I'll go and do exactly what you've asked me to do. And so the Bible goes on in this story, and the scripture tells us that Eleazar, the servant, he gathers 10 camels together, and he puts precious gifts upon these camels. He's got silver, and he's got gold, and he's got raiment, and he's got a substance, and he's got things to bless the family with. And he begins to make his way, a caravan through the desert, going from Cana back to Mesopotamia. 500, 600, 700 miles. Long journey. And you can imagine the trail was dusty and they didn't make it in a day. But the Bible says when they finally arrived at the city of Nahor, Nahor being Abraham's brother, when they finally arrived in the city in Mesopotamia, it was about evening time, and the servant and his entourage comes to the gates of the city, and there outside the walls of the city is the well that serviced the community. And the servant causes the camels to all just lay down to relax. And the servant looks around and he begins to pray, and he said, all right, Lord. Now listen carefully to the servant's prayer. He said, all right, Lord, here I am. I'm in the right place. And now I ask you to bring the right woman for this matrimony. Bring the right person. Oh God, here we are at the well of the city, and it's about time for the women to come out and draw water. If you have prospered my way, Lord, and if you will just lead me to the right person, here's how I'm going to ask you to do it. When the right girl comes out, I'm going to inquire of her, give me to drink. And Lord, if it's the right woman, then you let her say to me, drink, my Lord, and I will also draw water for your camel. I will go the extra mile, and I won't just give you a drink, but I will water your 10 camels. How many of you know a camel can drink a lot of water? There were 10 of them. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that while the servant yet prayed, while he was still in the midst of his prayer, Rebekah came out of the gates of the city. Rebekah, her name literally means captivating. She was a hottie. She was pure. The Bible said that she was a virgin, and no man had ever known her. She had never been with anyone. She was beautiful to look upon. She had a beautiful spirit. And she was pure. Without spot, without blemish. And Eleazar, the servant, watches her go down to the well and draw water. And I can almost see it unfolding in my mind. The Bible said that Eleazar ran out to meet her as she was coming up from the well. And he says to her, "Give me to drink." And the Bible said that immediately, with haste, she let down her pitcher and said, "Drink, my Lord." And Eleazar, I can almost see him as he takes that pitcher of water and begins to drink. He's saying, "All right, God, this is half of it. You know the other half of it. If this is the woman, then you let her agree not only to let me have a drink, but she'll offer to water the camel." I wonder what went through his mind as he was drinking of that water. And when he had finished drinking, Rebekah said, "And I will water the camels also." Eleazar thinking, "Oh my Lord, I think I found the right one. I think I found the right girl. I think I found the one that I've come for." The only question that remained was, would she be willing to go? Would she of her own free will be willing to go? The Bible says that she drew water for all of his camels and they all drank. And Eleazar says to her, "To whom do you belong? Who is your family?" And she said, "I am the son of Bethuel. And I am a daughter of Milcah. I am the granddaughter of Nahor." And all of a sudden, the servant realizes that this is the one that God has led him to. And he bows himself to the ground and he begins to give thanks unto God. And he begins to worship. But now the only question is she going to be willing to go? Is she going to be willing of her own free will to follow after him to become a bride for a man that she has never met in person? You may be asking yourself, "Pastor Gary, how could this story be important for us today? How could a man's search for a bride thousands of years ago impact me?" Let me just prayerfully, hopefully reveal the picture in the picture, the story behind the story, the deeper truth that this story conveys. From a spiritual standpoint, everything boils down to the very same question that you see in this story. Wilt thou go with this man? Abraham is a picture of God the Father. He is the man with the plan. The servant represents the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is the agent that has come to carry out the plan of God. Rebekah is a picture of the church or the bride of Christ, our heavenly Isaac. Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning that God, our Father, has sent the Holy Spirit into this world to call out a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Abraham's servant, God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit not to promote himself, but he comes to us to point our way unto the bridegroom. He comes not to speak of his own glory, but he comes to speak of Jesus Christ and to cause us to learn more about our Lord. It is the Holy Spirit that has come to convict us of sin. It is the Holy Spirit that has come to draw us and woo us to Christ. We are the Rebecca. We are the bride of Christ. And the Holy Spirit has come. And he's even here in this place this morning to draw you, to draw me closer unto the Lord. Consider with me this morning. Consider with me this morning the question from Rebecca's viewpoint. Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou consent to become his? And consider for a moment her point of view. Some things were very clear for Rebecca. Some things were crystal clear for Rebecca. Rebecca knew, number one, that if she said, I will go, that there wasn't no going back. It was over 500, 600, 700 miles. In other words, amen, Rebecca knew that if I go, there ain't no coming back. If I go, in other words, I have to have a made up mind. I can't get in the middle of a decision and then back out. If I'm going to go, I got to go. Let me just tell you this morning, church, we need to have a made-up mind that we are going to serve the Lord. We need to have a made-up mind that we are either going to choose God and righteousness or that we're going to remain in our sin. And I'm going to tell you, he's not going to force any of us to go against our will. Just like Abraham said, if she won't go, you are released from your promise. If she won't go, then you are released from your covenant word to me. Amen. We need this morning to have a made up mind when the Holy Spirit comes to our hearts and begins to draw us unto Christ. Let me just tell you, he's made a long journey. Amen. The Holy Spirit has come a long way to speak to our hearts and to draw us unto the Son and draw us unto our bridegroom. And we have to have a made up mind that we are going to serve the Lord. Joshua said it many years ago in Joshua chapter 24 in verse number 15. He said, you choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you this morning, amen, we need to have a made up heart and a made up mind that, amen, when the Holy Spirit comes, we say, yes, I will go. And we go with a whole heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 62, Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, there ain't no looking back. There ain't no turning around. Amen. There ain't no going back. Amen. Thank God that he's delivered us from a past of sin. And thank God that we've been forgiven and we become a brand new creature in Christ. And we have a future that is secure in God. Rebecca knew that if I go, there things ain't going to be the same. There are going to be some things that change. Rebecca knew that if I go, there are going to be some folks who I'm going to have to leave behind. Hello? Amen. Stop and think about that for a moment. Amen. Rebecca knew that if I go, I'm going to have to leave some things behind. Amen. Let me just tell you, when you make up your mind to live for the Lord, there are going to be some things that you're going to have to turn loose of and leave behind. Some folks that ain't gonna go and some things that ain't gonna go. Mama may not be coming, amen, but the Holy Spirit comes and says, wilt thou go? I don't know. Mama may not come, but I gotta go. Daddy may not come, but I gotta go. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, they may not go, but hey, I gotta go. Some of my good time buddies, some of my drinking buddies may think I've lost my mind, but hey, they may not be willing to go, but I am willing to go. There's some things that were very clear. I'm going to have to leave some stuff out in order to put some stuff in. Amen. I'm going to have to leave some things out in order to have some different things in my life. Amen. Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou go with this man? Some things were very clear. There were some things that were concealed. Some things that Rebecca did not have the answer for. There were some things concealed. She does not know what lies between point A and point B. She does not know what the journey holds. She does not know what the journey holds. Amen, beloved, there may be some of us that are sitting here this morning that are facing some uncertainties, and we may not know exactly what is between here and heaven, but what we do know is that the Holy Spirit comes to empower and give us all that we need for the journey to get to Him. The Holy Spirit has all of the necessary resources to lead us through this life back to the Son. Amen. He has the gifts, the talents, the abilities. The Holy Spirit has the resources to take us all the way to the bridegroom. Amen, the Holy Spirit, we may have to travel some rough roads. We may have to climb some mountaintops. Amen, but I'm going to tell you something. If we set out on the journey and we stay committed to the Lord, amen, that all of us are going through. Her reception was concealed. How many of you know she must have had some thoughts in her mind? She must have had some thoughts in her mind. I wonder what this guy is going to think of me. I wonder if he will love me. I wonder if he will accept me. I wonder if he will receive me. Amen. How many of you know the enemy comes along at times and puts that same kind of thought or that same kind of mentality in our heart? I've done so many things, the Lord can't forgive me. Baloney. I've done so many things that God wouldn't forgive me. Baloney. Amen. Listen to what Jesus said. He said in John chapter 6 and verse number 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you read the final verses of that 24th chapter in the book of Genesis, you will read that when Rebecca lit off of her horse, when she arrived there where Isaac was, Isaac went out to meet her, brought her into his home, and he received her with love. Amen. Amen. And they lived a happy life together. He received her. I'm here to tell you, if you'll say yes to Jesus, I'm willing to go, he'll receive you. Amen. Rebecca must have thought at the beginning of the journey, I wonder if this offer is for real. I wonder if this offer is for real. How many of you know serving the Lord sometimes just sounds like it's too good to be true? Hello? How many of you have ever needed a mulligan in your life, a do-over? You made a mess out of something and you needed a clean slate. The Bible said that if we confess our sin, He is faithful, just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. He removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. You say, preacher, that sounds just too good to be true. Amen. Rebecca must have thought, amen, this offer is just too good to be true. You're going to take me to my groom who is a wealthy man and blessed with all kinds of blessing, and he's going to bless my life with matrimony and wealth and blessing and security and peace. Amen. She must have thought it just too good to be true. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that same thing, amen, holds true for us. Jesus Christ's word is true. Amen, amen, amen. There were some things that were revealed. There were some things that were concealed. And let me just tell you, saying I will go requires a few things on our part. Number one, it requires a willingness to choose. It requires a willingness to choose. Let me tell you this morning, one of the enemy's biggest weapons against humanity, he will tell us, well, you can choose the Lord, but you don't have to do it today. You don't have to do it right now. You got lots of time. You got lots of time. Even though she knows or does not know all there is to know about Isaac, even though she knows that she wants to be with him, she doesn't have all of the information. Amen. She doesn't know everything that there is to know about him, but she knows enough that she wants to choose him. Amen. The enemy will come to us at times and tell us that we don't have to give our heart to Christ today. We can choose, but we don't have to choose now. No, the Holy Spirit is saying, wilt thou go with this man? And we have to have a willingness to choose. Amen. I'll just tell you this morning, you may not know everything that there is to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but the good news is you don't have to be a theologian to be saved. You don't have to be a scholar in the scripture in order to invite Christ into your heart. Salvation boils down to simple fact, amen, that we are willing to choose Jesus over our sins, that we are willing to choose heaven over hell, and that we are willing to choose God over Satan, and we are willing to choose life over death, and we are willing to choose light over darkness. Salvation is coming to the point, amen, that we want to be free more than we want to be bound. We want to be set free in Christ, and we trust the Lord. We make him our choice, just as he made us his choice on the cross. We make him by a conscious decision. I choose to go with the Lord. It requires a willingness to choose. It requires a willingness to change. It requires a willingness to change. Rebecca has come to the place in her life where she esteems Isaac as being more valuable than anything else in her life. She is willing to turn her back on everything to go and to be with him. She's willing to live in a new place, willing to live in a new manner, willing to live under new management. Hello? Amen. We have to come to that same place. Amen. Lord, I'm willing to make a change. I'm willing to make a new start. I'm willing to do the right thing. I'm tired of living in my sin. Jesus offers us a brand new life, a clean slate, if we will just simply call upon his name. Amen. But it takes a willingness on our part. It takes a willingness to be able to say, I'm willing to change. There are a lot of people this morning that believe in the Lord. There are a lot of people this morning that even love the Lord, but they've not come to the place where they're willing to make a change in their life. going means it's going to require some change. Saying I will go is going to require a commitment. A commitment on our part. Rebecca has reached the place that she is willing to commit the rest of her life to Isaac. She is willing to give her all to him. Let me just tell you this morning, salvation is not about a mere mental profession. Salvation is not just a pure mental consent, but salvation is a total, complete, radical commitment. I no longer belong to myself. I have been bought with a price. Therefore, I desire to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which everything that I am belongs to Him. That's a radical commitment. Amen. Salvation comes when we are convicted of our sin and we are drawn unto Christ, when we believe the gospel and we repent and we commit our way unto the Lord. Amen. We believe in our heart, confess with our mouth that Christ is the Son of the living God. Amen. And when we do that, we are saved in the sight of God. Rebecca makes her decision. They arise in the morning. The servant and his entourage spends the night with Rebecca's family. In the morning, the servant awakens and he is ready to go. The mother and the brothers and the rest of the family said, wait. I mean, you can go, but you don't have to go right now. Same thing as the enemy. Oh, you can go, but not yet. Don't go now. One of the biggest lies the enemy ever told me was, yeah, you can get saved one of these days, but you got a lot of life ahead of you. Don't have to do it today. Hello? They said, oh, we'll let her go, but she don't have to go today. Why don't you let her stay here for at least 10 days? The servant said, look, we all know that this is what the Lord wants. God has prospered my way, led me directly to you. Don't hinder me. Let me go on back to my master. Let me go on back to Abraham. And so they said, all right, we will inquire of the damsel. We'll find out what she wants. And so they called for Rebecca. And they said to Rebecca, will thou go with this man? I mean, are you ready to pack it up right now? Throw it on a camel and become a camel jockey back to Canaan. Are you ready to go right now? And Rebecca said, I'll go. I will go. A picture within a picture, an image within an image, a story behind the story. Amen. There's more here than just meets the eye. God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit into this world to speak to our hearts and draw us to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And the only question that remains, even for us today, is will you go? Will you go? Now, let me just tell you, there'll be a whole lot of family and a whole lot of other things that'll stand around and tell you why you shouldn't go, why you shouldn't commit. But what the Lord's interested in is, will you go with this man? Will you make him Lord of your life? Let me just dig a little deeper into this picture. On the way back, 500, 600, 700 miles. And the reason I say that is because some that I read said it was 500. Some said it was 700. So I'm just kind of throwing it all out there for you. On the way back, the servant is telling Rebecca all about Isaac. He's a handsome guy. Strong. Muscular, wealthy. He is the heir to everything his Father owns. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Everything that the Father has is mine. The Holy Spirit, the servant, is telling Rebecca all the way back, the journey, all the way back to Isaac about how wonderful he was. He had gifts to give her. How many of you know the Holy Spirit comes to give us gifts, fruits of the Spirit, and gifts of the Spirit to bless our life with? And he come to teach us and lead us and guide us and teach us of our Savior. All the way on our journey home, when Rebecca comes into the land where Isaac is, into the valley, the Bible says, and you could read it there in the story in the 24th chapter, she saw him afar off, and she inquired of the servant, is that him? He said, that's him. That's him. The Bible said that she lit off of her horse, and she covered her face with a veil and went running to meet him. How many of you know one of these days the trumpet of God is going to sound and we are going to fly from planet Earth into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. This whole picture this morning comes down to the question, are you willing to go? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What will you say? Rebecca said, I will go. I will go. I want to go. I must go. I want to go. What will you say this morning? As the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, speaks to our hearts this morning, what will be our decision? Will we go with Christ? Will we go with him? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over. Heavenly Father, in the mighty, wonderful name of your Son, Jesus, we are so thankful, so grateful for our heavenly bridegroom. Thank you that you have sent your servant. Thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit to draw us, to show us the glory of the Son, that he desires for us to be his bride without spot, without blemish, without a wrinkle in our garment. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to let the words of this message strike home in our hearts. We recognize it will take commitment. We recognize that it will take and require change. We recognize that there will be some change on our part, but we are willing to go. Speak to our hearts, precious Holy Ghost. Speak to our hearts. Let us understand, recognize the story behind the story. See the salvation plan of God, I ask. In Jesus' name, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here in this house? And you have not made a commitment to Jesus. Are you here and you have not answered that question? I will go. But right now you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. And you know that it is the Holy Spirit drawing you. And you would be willing to say, not to me, but to the Lord, I will go. Slip up your hand right to the Lord this morning. God sees your hand right back there. God sees that hand. Amen. Are you here this morning and you have not made a commitment to the Lord? But this morning you would like to say, Lord, I want to go. I am willing to go. I'm willing to go. Are there any other hands you'd slip it up? The Lord sees that hand. Amen. Stand to your feet all over the building this morning. With your heads bowed, let me pray with those that have lifted their hands. Heavenly Father, you have seen every hand that has been lifted. Lord, you know every heart in this place. The greatest message of the gospel is the salvation plan of Jesus Christ. Those that have responded this morning and said, I haven't made a complete surrender. I haven't made a complete commitment. I pray, Lord God, you see their hand and you see their heart and you would draw them nigh unto you. That you would recognize their hunger this morning for more of you. I thank you, O God, for the move of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, O God, for touching our hearts, for ministering to us. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We give you thanks and we give you praise. Go ahead and sing, son.